You're listening to The Cat Business Show, and I'm Kat. In this show, I chat to the University of Lincoln's Alex Levchuk, Programme Leader for Masters in Community Radio, and also the Programme Leader for Bachelors in Public Relations. Alex is also founder of the university's Siren FM, as well as the independent Southside Broadcasting. Welcome to the show, Alex, and how are you today?
I'm very well, Kat, and delighted to actually be here as part of this half-hour extravaganza of business talk.
I know, exciting stuff, isn't it? Do you know, it's very unusual to have us in this combination, really, because normally it's you asking me questions, so it's all like topsy-turvy world.
It makes for a creative and a refreshing change.
Yes, it does indeed. Well, obviously, we want to talk today really about education and business, and of course, the university here at Lincoln is top of the charts, award-winning. What award did it win?
Well, in terms of teaching excellence, we're in the top 10 as far as universities across the land are concerned, and also done extremely well for student satisfaction. So when you bear in mind that 15 years ago we weren't really in existence as a university, because clearly the University of Lincoln evolved from what was the University of Lincolnshire and Humberside, and then the University of Humberside, and then indeed Humberside Polytechnic before that when we were based in Hull. It's been quite an interesting journey, and I think we're still obviously looking to consistently improve, but I'd like to feel that the university has certainly provided a nice service and indeed a range of opportunities for people within the East Midlands region.
Absolutely. Well, 15 years is a meteoric rise, really, in a way, isn't it? Straight to the top of the charts, you know? That's pretty good, pretty damn good. Now, it's quite a competitive market, this, isn't it? Let's be honest here. Everybody now is doing their, you know, their GCSEs, they're going to do their A-levels, and it's a natural progression now to go on and do some sort of degree at university, isn't it? My question really is going to be around, you know, is that expected now that everybody has that before they go into a position in business, or is it something that really is still a cut above everybody else?
No, I think there certainly have been changes in people's perceptions of degrees. And the last few years, particularly with the onset of student fees, has meant that a number of people have decided that actually maybe it was best to take an apprenticeship. Maybe it would be best to actually take a different experience in life. And there really isn't any set path to actually going to university. There are still many students who still come straight from school. But equally, there are many other very commendable students who will actually defer it for a few years and maybe come in after having had some life experience. Some students obviously take a year out, take a gap year. That's always been popular. That's really part of the decision that needs to be made by the individual. I always say to students who are wanting to be part of any particular degree programme, whether it's public relations, whether it's journalism, whether it's English, or any other programme, I'd say the same thing. Listen to your own intuition, your own tummy test, if you like. Follow that emotional guidance system. If it feels right, if Lincoln University or another university feels right for you, then go there. But bear in mind that clearly it entails a certain amount of commitment. It entails the likelihood of 1 to 3 years of study. And, you know, it is a challenge, but at the same time, it's got a lot of benefits that can be worked into the system and can be developed and can be sort of enhanced as well.
Yeah, and it's not just about the education that you're going to have, is it, really? And it's not about just the degree that you're going to have when you come out. It's very much about the experience as well for students, isn't it, as well these days? And of course, here at Lincoln, there's a lot of different facilities that enhance that experience, as many other universities do as well, obviously. But how important is it, do you think, in those three key years that people are, how is that important in terms of the life experience as well?
Well, I was once given a few words of advice by one of my tutors at the University of London, and it's something I've always felt duty-bound really to pass on to students across the base. It's not the degree, it's what you do with the degree. And so that doesn't really matter whether you're doing, as I did, a degree in chemistry and biology, and then you do a master's in film and media, and you expand and you develop and do various other things, and you develop a radio interest and you work on those premises. Most folk now will have a career portfolio. There are certain instances probably where you could say a medical degree was a vocational degree, possibly a law degree, but in the main, a lot of folk actually end up doing something slightly different from the degree that they're studying, whether that's history, whether that's English, whether that's public relations and so on. And what actually makes that a person's growth over those 3 years is how you actually avail yourself of the opportunities that are provided by things like, in Lincoln's case, the radio station Siren FM, Scholars in Radio Entertainment. It was established very much as a range to build something up which wasn't necessarily assessed, but could provide students with the opportunity to work with staff and professionals in their own field by things like Signet PR, in the case of public relations, actually working in a professional notion, developing professional PR stuff, and by the numerous societies and opportunities that are actually there. There are lots of things that are actually happening in all sectors, but in particular Lincoln, where you've got the arts environment, where actually getting some voluntary experience can be really beneficial and also mark you out as being special, because ultimately there are a large number of students who graduate each year. And what, if you're looking for the job market, is important to bear in mind is that potential employers are expecting you to have some kind of added value, something that they can actually sort of lock onto and say, oh, right, you've done an interesting series of country music programmes, for instance. Yeah. You've actually worked with a couple of professional photographers. Tell us about it.
Yeah. Yes.
Tell us about what you've actually done with that side of things. And that kind of opens up a whole range of factors which can obviously build in standard things which we've known about for years, which are still the transferable skills, the kind of things that you need to be aware of, such as when you are organising things, coordinating events, planning, managing, writing proper press releases, all of those factors are skills that are really part and parcel of the whole higher educational experience.
Yeah, and it's, and it, as you say, it's demonstrating, isn't it, when you come out the other end that, yes, I can I can think to this sort of level, you know, when I've got a bachelor's or a master's, I can prove that I've got that kind of education. But it's about adding value, I guess, isn't it, for that experience as well?
It's also a time for reflection. Often tend to forget in an era where we are constantly being bombarded with statistics and metrics and statements that actually one of the real benefits of higher education is the opportunity to reflect on what you're studying.
Yeah.
It's a philosophical aspect, actually asking why you're actually doing subject A, subject B, subject C, any of those reasons. Getting a chance to really start thinking about how those opportunities can arise, and also fundamentally asking some of those key questions which really are at the heart of any progress that humanity actually makes, really, if he's being a bit highfalutin with respect to that. But if you're going through the educational system, university higher education is more a case of developing your own choreography, developing your own steps, rather than necessarily dancing to somebody else's tune.
Yeah, absolutely.
However, you know, you need to know what tunes have been written before you can actually start developing your own systems and expand
from
there.
I like that. Yes, that's very true, isn't it, really? But I think that's possibly the key to getting the most out of it, isn't it, is to go in with an open mind and look for the opportunities to expand yourself as a person as well as your educational being. You mentioned earlier there about Signet PR, which Lincoln has. Now, other universities may have something similar, but this I have found has been particularly interesting because it gives students the opportunity, doesn't it, for real life experience. Mm. Do you want to just tell me a little bit about that?
Certainly. Well, Jane Crofts, my predecessor as program leader for public relations, together with Peter Smith, really initiated something which I suppose as a model was kind of building on what we mentioned earlier with Siren FM. In other words, it's a real product, it's a real tangible aspect that people can get involved with. Currently, Sam Perdue and Doug Brown do an extraordinarily fantastic job with the students because it's a collaborative thing.
Yeah.
It's not simply a case of staff turning around and saying, we've got these particular projects, we'd like you to work on this particular. We will make suggestions, we will put things forward, but ultimately it's the students who need to process the whole package. Now, that can be everything from covering a science fiction convention right the way through to working with potentially the social networking team at the Lincoln Agricultural Society, or indeed a whole variety of other projects that are around. It's also a good way of getting a nice interface between the voluntary sector and the paid professional sector.
Yeah, and giving real life experience, isn't it, for that they can take on beyond the university to actually offer an employer some demonstration of their skill sets in the real world.
Well, it becomes almost, to quote a cliche, a priceless aspect of the whole area, that a common thread with people who wanted to work in aspects of the media was they would be told, well, where's your experience? You know, if you wanted to be a photographer, well, what photographs have you actually taken? If you want to be a writer, well, what books have you written? What things have you actually done? You can't wait for the opportunity to necessarily appear in front of you. Opportunities will come, but you need to give the chance for yourself to do what you can with what you've got from where you are,
sure,
to take those baby steps to start really working through and getting those experiences. And the more you do, and the more you actually connect with people, and the more you effectively relate to folk, the better it becomes.
Yeah, sure. Now, we're lucky enough to be sitting here in Siren FM, which is in the university campus here. You've mentioned Siren FM, but let's just expand on that a little bit more, because what an absolutely wonderful opportunity there is here for students of journalism, for looking particularly for a broadcast career, to come in and experience what it really is like to run a radio or be on radio, present radio, or be involved in some way. How did this come about? Because I'm sure this must actually be quite a unique facility.
It really goes back to the 20th century. It goes back to 1997, and one of my students, who was called Teresa Hunt, she's moved on since then. She worked for the ITC, the Independent Television Commission, but she was one of my students who was reading communications, and also Gay Lofthouse, who went on to work in professional radio herself for Minster FM and a variety of other stations in the north, and Ross Bowring. And they effectively were keen to do, or to set up and establish, a campus radio station. Now, dial back a little bit earlier to the end of the 80s and the beginning of the 90s, and I'd been working at Cambridge with Downing College, working on a project called Cambridge University Radio, which was set up in Downing College, literally just outside the environment and the main sort of teaching area.
Mm-hmm.
But we found then that you could have some fantastic programmes, but the quality of the signal was a little bit erratic, because obviously students would go, they'd come, they'd go, etc. And one of the things we thought we could do with Siren, which is one of the reasons we came up with the brand name Scholars in Radio Entertainment.
Right,
which is
okay.
What it actually sort of stands for.
Okay.
Was a partnership which very much embedded the notion of student as producer, actually long before the University of Lincoln started using that term, student as producer and student as co-producer, but actually getting inexperienced broadcasters in the same studios as slightly more experienced broadcasters and folk who had more experience of developing shows and concepts, and seeing what kind of magical things you could put together. I always found when I was with Cambridge University Radio, when I was also with Dulwich Radio and other stations, that the best possible shows were where you actually got quite A or B list celebrities, the likes of your Jason Connery's, Kate O'Mara. I mean, people might say, who are those folk, etc.? Use Google, use a line for that.
Google is our friend.
Exactly. But in terms of that, folk who were actually, they'd cut their acting chops, they'd done a lot of good stuff. I mean, obviously Jason, his dad, Sean Connery, who's known for a whole variety of elements within that field. But actually getting them together with more jobbing actors, actors who basically had perhaps just entered the business or were sort of at the other end of the scale. In fact, we actually often get to agents saying that their clients had actually got more work out of doing sort of studio stuff and contacts with us at Dulwich and other stations than they had through kind of more formalised systems. So I thought there's a good way here of combining both networking and opportunities that can build up all those transferable skills we were talking about as well. And cut a long story short, the Vice-Chancellor at the time, Roger King, was very much in favour of developing a project. So we started running a series of what are RSLs, or restricted service licences, to start testing the waters, initially in Hull. And then when we migrated down to Lincoln, we felt that Siren as a brand could be expanded and developed further from that point of view. And that's pretty much what we did. By that stage, Teresa and Ross and Gail had left and graduated, but you know, their successors and people who actually sort of followed them through continued, and we kind of managed to keep that balance going until we were awarded a full-time licence from Ofcom back in 2007. And, and here we are 10 years later, obviously, still pumping out the tunes.
Terrific, terrific. So predominantly, I'm assuming that most of the people who get involved in this from the student perspective will be those who are on the journalism courses. Is it actually wider?
It's a combination.
Right.
It was always designed. I mean, we didn't want it to be closely identified with any particular course, because we thought that could also tend to ghettoise it. So people think, oh, well, if I'm not doing media production, I can't get involved with the radio. That's not at all the case. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're doing media production, marketing, forensic science, any of this sort of aspects is actually there. English, history, journalism, public relations. There's always an opportunity. And in fact, in many ways, you are likely to get better quality programming if you've got people who are specialists in their own field. All they really need is that kind of interface of effective communicators to translate what's being said and develop a whole variety of things as well.
Yeah, interesting. That's very interesting. I can see how actually it can give opportunities for all sorts of people in their journey through the university, can't they?
And beyond as a postgraduate as well, of
course. Yes, absolutely, and beyond. Just thinking about the students who do tend to come to Lincoln, in terms of the overseas students, I mean, I know that overseas students are particularly important to a lot of universities. Are they particularly important to Lincoln?
Yes, he said, after
you're thinking,
a few moments pause there.
Depends what you mean by important.
From the perspective of the sharing of knowledge, let's go back to the fundamentals. Why is the University of Lincoln established? What is the ultimate rationale in terms of what are we doing at the University of Lincoln? Again, going back to what we were talking about earlier in terms of let's just talk about why people are doing what they're doing. Well, fundamentally, I think there's a belief that we are interested in bettering and furthering understandings of a variety of subjects. Now, we're all on this journey, whatever your philosophical aspect happens to be. Maybe you see yourself as a spiritual being on a human journey, or a human being on a spiritual journey, whatever line mm-hmm. you take from that point of view, in which, you know, coming to grips with how technology, how things happen, why do things happen, that should surely be in the public domain. That should be something yeah. which, again, in an ideal world, you should actually connect with. Now, we don't quite live in an ideal world. Maybe we never will live in an ideal world. And clearly there are other areas relating to the financial benefits of external students that clearly fit into place. And it's one of the reasons why I think the government have quite understandably backed down on their previously very rigid stance on saying that no students would not be given visas, and again lumping together that with the immigrant situation and migrant workers and all kinds of things, which really would take many more hours than we've got today to really start beginning yeah, sure. to unpick the kind of nightmare scenario within that. So, as is the case with most universities, that need for internationalisation, I think, is really of prime importance. And just wearing my hat as programme leader for public relations, one of the key things we've developed has been a solid link with Malaysia and Penang University.
Right.
And indeed, one of our students, Molly Richardson, is heading out there to actually be an ambassador. Again, working connections with that, and we'll have students from Penang coming over to Lincoln as well to relate from that perspective. Now, you know, again, we're sharing degree packages. We're looking at public relations and communications, which I think is particularly significant. There are a couple of other subjects they're working within as well, computer science, I believe, and media production as well. But that's one of the clear ways in which people can work together in a collaboratively beneficial exercise. You know, building up this sort of this artificial line of things. I mean, academics have sometimes been notorious for wanting to actually work in their own isolationist thing or to have their own sort of aspects. We're trying to build those definite links and connections. And ultimately, if I can quote R. Buckminster Fuller, who was a wonderful writer in the 1930s, as well as actually the discoverer of the chemical aspect of Buckminster Fullerene, which is a sort of organic chemistry element they put together. Bucky Fuller would talk about synergy.
Yeah.
That actually, if you take two apparently totally disparate ideas and put them together, as if by magic, or again, synergy, you'd get a third idea coming out. And it's that kind of cross-fertilisation, hybridisation, which I think can really open up a whole range of opportunities.
Yeah, that's really interesting, isn't it? That being that something better can come of this collaboration, which, you know, is quite exciting, isn't it? The downside of university, I have to say, though, is, of course, the cost, isn't it, to actually come and attend these kind of facilities here to actually get that education. What's your view on that? Because it's not a cheap
okay.
way of...
well, let's break it down slightly, and you might well respond by saying, well, you would say that, wouldn't you? If you're looking at actually paying back apparently 27,000, 30,000, 40,000 pounds worth of debt, clearly there are thresholds, and there are many students who would actually go through the process who probably will not actually pay that back. Now, again, there's another argument from an economic point of view: is that sustainable? Is that developmental, etc.? I was very fortunate, together with many, many of my colleagues, to benefit from a totally free higher educational system because we had a grant system in place and we could actually work through that process. allowing for that, of course, that was in the day where back in the 80s it was probably only the top 15 or 20% who actually would go academically to university. There wasn't, as we said at the beginning of the programme, necessarily the expectation that going to university was a kind of matter of right. And I think we're getting somewhere between the two extremes really now. Yes, 50% going to higher education is a substantial number. But at the same time, the benefits that come out of that can never be underestimated. And if we're putting it into perspective, how much did Paris Saint-Germain actually just pay for Neymar? 980 billion.
Yeah.
Million, et cetera.
Million, yeah.
I mean, you know, he's sort of the high side, basically a fifth of £1 billion pounds from that perspective. I know that's the one extreme, but when you get too caught up in number crunching, I think sometimes you can miss out on the bigger picture. There are lots of additional bursaries. There are lots of ways in which universities, including Lincoln, actually make it a lot easier to actually cover those costs, to actually deal with the costs and so on. So my advice would always be, if you feel that higher education is for you, if you are connected by the notion of wanting to study a particular subject in depth, to actually find out more about it, to experience some of the things there, then make those steps and things will fall into place behind them. If you don't feel it is right for yourself, then that's fine as well. But I don't think you should necessarily be too panicked by the fact that, as regularly occurs on an annual basis, the mass media will turn out and say, "Oh, is this worth it?
Yeah.
How is this?" Because how do you quantify what is worth it?
Yes, exactly. You
know, one person's absolute genius work of art as a portrait can be another person's Jackson Pollock.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And it's not simply about just the earnings beyond leaving university. As we said before, it's about the experience as well and equipping people for life and dealing with situations better as they go through that journey as well, isn't it? From the business point of view, just looking at the businesses and accepting people into positions, how do you feel about them looking and evaluating whether a degree is really more valuable from an employer's perspective than somebody who's come through another source, say, for example, apprenticeships?
Ultimately, you'd have to ask the business themselves what they're looking for.
Yeah, sure.
Now, an immediate response from a business perspective might be, so Bill Gates and the inventor of Apple, Steve Jobs, they dropped out of university. They never actually bothered. Richard Branson didn't go to university. And actually, there is a very logical argument for saying that people who didn't go to university but became entrepreneurs have developed and added to the human experience tremendously well, tremendously successfully. We're not all entrepreneurially mindsetted, or otherwise we'd all be multi-billionaires and working through that. Some of us actually prefer, again, working through the systems and so on. Also, it's worthwhile noting that whilst universities will actually address some of the issues we talked earlier in terms of creativity, in terms of developments and so on, yes, there are fundamental constraints that are actually there inevitably because these systems have been put in place. So, again, from the perspective of the business companies, there are certainly skill sets that are being looked for. And one of the things that Lincoln actually makes great strides in is liaising with external companies to say, what are your needs? What are you looking for in a graduate? And inevitably, despite all of the range of technology within broadcasting that's actually there, it's not necessarily the training to drive the stuff. It's coming up with ideas. It's fundamentally being able to ask the right kind of questions, being able to actually write well. I mean, ultimately, there is no greater skill set than actually being able to utilise language effectively, being able to write effectively, to ensure that you release, in the case of public relations, press notices which aren't full of spelling errors and mistakes. These are kind of fundamentals. And if I can kind of go further from my own particular prescription for life from that line of things, I would say consider the triangle. It's something I say with the students quite a lot. Draw a triangle. On one side of the triangle, on apex, you actually put the word enthusiasm. Another side, you put a reasonable amount of talent. And on the final side, you put reliability. If you take any one of those out, if you've got all the enthusiasm in the world, you've got all the talent in the world, but you've got no reliability, nobody's going to work with you because you're unreliable. If you're reliable, but you've got no enthusiasm, but you've got a reasonable amount of talent, well, again, you're going to be an energy vampire. People, again, are going to say, why would we want to work with them? It's just not work. And equally, if you've got no talent, which is very rare, admittedly, there's also a problem there. So you need a kind of combination of those. And ultimately, it's up to the individual to see how they develop, how they grow within that. And hopefully what we can do within higher education is begin to lead that out back to the whole notion of what is education defined as education, educare, the leading out of the inner self.
I love that concept, Alex. That's lovely. Well, thank you very much for talking to me, Alex Levchuk. It's been a pleasure. And if somebody wants to actually find out a bit more about Lincoln University, where would they go?
Well, inevitably in our cyberspace age, they should go to lincoln.ac.uk. All of our programmes are actually on board there, and you can certainly get in touch with us. I'd also say do take advantage of the many open days that are set up through the course of the year, because we always like to feel that rather than just feeling pressurised or just making a snap decision, come to the university, visit the university, see, get a flavour for what it's all about, and then take it from there.
That's brilliant. Good advice. Thank you very much, Alex. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Cat Business Show. For more information about me, my business school, and to listen to past shows, please visit cat.uk.com. Bye for now.